I find it quite hard to follow that, actually. I feel quite shaken up. And what I want to encourage us all, we'll be doing it at our alphabet group this week, folks, is to take that and look at it. It's so easy to take these things and go away and forget them. This is the word of the Lord. So I want to really encourage us, women's scripture in our home groups, in our living room, wherever we are, wherever we're in conversation with people, to really look at this, because otherwise we're not accepting the word of the Lord. And in fact, what I have to say this morning is a little bit about how we do this. So it's not disconnected at all. Could you open your Bibles? The Bible is absolutely crucial, or your phone, to Acts 13. That's where we've got this morning. And while you're doing this, I want to recommend a book. I always recommend a book. The title of this book is a very old book. It's an amazing book. I see a thumbs up there. We've used it in this church in little courses before. It's called Strengthen Yourself in the Lord. We need to know how to strengthen ourselves. We can't depend on other people. We need to know how to strengthen ourselves. Strengthen Yourself in the Lord by Bill Johnson. I think Margaret was in a course that we did, weren't you? With Sarah. Amazing. Yeah. So that's a book recommendation. Of course, the Bible is our absolute first. I think there are quite a few people here this morning who remember steam trains. Dudley-dum, 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 dudley-dum. So, yeah, you remember steam trains. So we once heard Nikki Gumbel, who's the founder of Alpha, saying that our life is a bit like that train, dudley-dum, dudley-dum. It's battle and blessings, battle and blessings, battle and blessings. That's how it is. It goes on and on and on like that. And we'll go on and on like that until we reach being with Jesus. And it was like that for him. Battle and blessings, battle and blessings. So I want to talk about battle and blessings. I wonder, have you ever wondered how 1 minute things can be amazing and you can experience God's blessing, and the next minute you're right into really challenging times? Well, actually, that was how it was for Jesus. The whole of his life was characterized by battles and blessings. And I think it's not without significance that at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he faced 40 days of spiritual battle. That's what we're actually remembering at the moment as we go through Lent. 40 days of spiritual battle. They were temptations from Satan to quit, to take the easy way out, to seize power for himself. And these are actually some of the first recorded words of Jesus. And for us, the moment we take Jesus into our lives and make him Lord, we recognize we're in a spiritual battle. From the moment the church was born at Pentecost, spiritual opposition began. Acts is absolutely packed with stories of battle and blessings. And let's never, ever forget that Jesus taught us to pray, "Deliver us from the evil one, and let your kingdom come of peace and joy and healing and the Holy Spirit." So I just kind of tracked back through a bit. In Acts 3, Peter and John laid hands on a crippled man who was healed and then boldly preached Jesus. And what happens next? The leaders get really disturbed and they were arrested. And then listen to how it was in Acts 4. The apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders. More and more people believed and were brought to the Lord. Crowds of both men and women. And then they were imprisoned. But then, amazingly, the blessing came and an angel released them. It's kind of battle and blessings, battle and blessings. We're going to look today at Acts chapter 13. And Fraser is going to read that to us now.
This is Acts 13, verses 4 to 12. The two of them, Barnabas and Saul, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia, and they sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You're going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord.
So, at the beginning of this, what has become known as Paul's first missionary journey, a dream team was sent out. So, we have Barnabas. He was the senior member of the team. He'd been on the very first church leadership team in Jerusalem, and he already knew quite a bit about the spiritual battle. In fact, he came from Cyprus. It was likely that he was quite a wealthy guy, having sold some of his farmlands to support the poor in the church. And he is described as full of the Holy Spirit and holiness and exuding a life of faith. And because of his ministry, many had been brought to the Lord. He was an encourager of new Christians. He was nicknamed Barnabas the Encourager. And actually, it was Barnabas who took Saul under his wings when Saul arrived at the church in Jerusalem. If you can imagine, Saul had persecuted the church, had caused so much upheaval, and then he arrives in the church, and they were understandably really suspicious. But it was Barnabas who takes him under his wings and nurtures him. So we have Saul, who became known as Paul after he started his missionary journey, and he had a very dramatic and quite unusual meeting with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was baptized 3 days later. The thing about Saul, we'll call him Paul from now on, was he knew his Bible really well, the Old Testament scriptures. He'd been brought up a Pharisee, so he knew exactly what God's word was all about. And he was determined not to be a lone ranger. He joined himself to the church in Jerusalem and began to boldly share his faith. And then finally, John Mark, he was actually probably the youngest of them all. He was the writer of Mark's gospel. We can safely assume he was the youngest member of the team. And he was a nephew of Barnabas. And so he was, along with this team, commissioned and sent out. Now, you might be wondering, where does she get all this? I've got it by digging around in Acts and in the Bible. So it's not all in one place. You have to dig around to find all this information, which is what I have done. So, could you get into pairs and read Acts 13, 1 to 2, and talk about what strikes you about how these leaders were chosen? So get into a pair with somebody else, read verses 1 to 2, and then what strikes you about how these leaders were chosen? Okay. So would anybody like to, Fraser will take the mic round. Would anyone like to say what strikes you about this? Just one person, perhaps. Fees, all right, okay, yeah.
They'd been fasting. And praying.
And what else?
That's what stood out.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And worshipping.
And worshipping. They've been worshipping and fasting and praying. My response is the simplicity of how it was in the early church. Things have got very complicated. But worshipping, fasting and praying was the hallmark of this church. My prayer, I would love our prayer to be that all the processes and procedure we are now going through as a church to discern who God has for us as our pastor leader will be absolutely undergirded by worship, praying and fasting. And we can be creative about this. We can do it in any number of ways. Few people in the church are going off for 3 days, worship, prayer and fasting. You might like to actually spend a bit of time fasting while those people are going away. We'll talk on about this, but it's so important that that's what we're doing. In the ESV Bible, there's a note, and it says this. Although there were many recognized prophets and teachers in the church, that did not guarantee that the Holy Spirit would speak. Spending time in worship, prayer, and fasting was foundational for this ministry. So what I want to do now is to take this story and highlight some wisdom from the Word about the spiritual battle. So the first thing I want to say is that we are all called to go out with the good news. This was a little team, but you can be quite sure that in Antioch and in Jerusalem, those who had stayed behind were going out with the good news. This was actually the final command of Jesus. He didn't say, go and start prayer meetings, go and start social actions. Those are really, really important. They're vital. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, teach the nations and baptize. That was what Jesus said. And our strap line as a church in Totnes United Free Church is go with the good news and grow disciples. So that is what we are called to do. So verse 3, if you look at verse 3, after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them out. So we're all called to go. And the second thing is that the word of God was the foundation of all their missional activity. And they were a team. So if you look at verse 5, we read, when they arrived at Salamis, which was on the island of Cyprus, they proclaimed the word of the Lord. There it is again, the word of God in the synagogues. And John was with them as their helper. Mark John. So Barnabas and the team were sent out from the church at Antioch, and Cyprus was their first port of call. What's really interesting is that actually Barnabas came from Cyprus. He was a Cypriot by birth. Here he is going back to that place, and they began preaching the word of God with John Mark as their assistant. And I love it that John Mark is in this team. He was the youngest, and actually he was the nephew of Barnabas. So it was like he'd got his uncle there nurturing him and helping him to kind of know what should happen, which is just how we should be. We are all different ages and stages. And where's Keith? Keith, thank you for being a Barnabas. Thank you so much for being a father in the faith, an encourager. And I just want to encourage us all to be that encourager. So from Salamis, they moved to the stunningly beautiful city of Paphos. It is absolutely amazing, that city by the sea. And I think there are some similarities with what was happening last weekend at City on a Hill. So a team came down from London to the area of outstanding natural beauty, the South Hams, and they helped us and encouraged us to share our faith and get going. And then they went back home. So not such a stunningly beautiful place. So we were a team. There were about 40 of us, which is amazing. I don't know how many are here this morning, but lots of you were on that team, 40, who were utterly committed to City on a Hill, and that was so encouraging. And they committed in faith, in time, in energy, in gifts, and on Friday and Saturday, about 20 people went out onto the streets with the good news. And some had never done anything like it before. So we helped each other. We went in pairs. And it is a bit scary to start off with, but, you know, it's actually, it's once you start, it's amazing how straightforward and easy it is. So, all called to go. The word of God was foundational in their missional activity. They were a team. Thirdly, we are all in a spiritual battle. We are all bombarded by conflicting spiritual voices, and no one is immune. Absolutely no one. Jesus. I have that one. No, I'm all right now. Jesus had these spiritual battles all the time. And so we must recognize that we're in this spiritual battle. Jesus was, and we will be. I'm going to throw out a question. Who is on our Totnes United Free Church spiritual safeguarding team? No. Spiritual safeguarding team we're talking about. Sorry, Rachel. We are all on the spiritual safeguarding team. We have, rightly so, an amazing safeguarding team. And we talk a lot about that, but we don't talk so much about our spiritual safeguarding team. We are all on this team. And we're blessed to have them, and we are safeguarding team. We are very blessed to have each other. We are all on this team. And I want to suggest we all need to wake up. Paul says to the Christians in Ephesians, these are Christians, wake up, and let the light of Christ shine on you. You know, some Christians have quite a benign worldview. They think, oh, spiritual battle's not for me. It's a few certain types. We are all in a spiritual battle. And if you want to find out more about the spiritual battle, I encourage you to start reading your Bible, particularly Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. That is the place where you'll find out about the spiritual battle. And in this encouragement, Paul kept on saying, stand firm, stand your ground, stand firm. And through really absorbing the truth in this chapter, we'll see how it is we stand. I saw somebody this morning who's had a few years of really, really tough living, like really tough. And I said to them, do you know, you really inspire me because you've stood firm all through this. And they said to me, I don't feel firm. I just feel very wobbly. And I said, do you not think Jesus felt wobbly when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? When he was saying, God, God, please deliver me from this. And when he was on the cross, I don't think he felt firm because he was God and he was a human being. So let's encourage each other to stand firm. And we read in this chapter of Ephesians, our fight is not against dark, unseen powers. So let's all be on the spiritual safeguarding team. We're all called to go out. The word of God is foundational, and we're all in the spiritual battle. And so next, the spiritual battle will always, always rear its head when we actively go out with the good news. We kind of really go on a mission. It will rear its head at other times. So would someone like to read? No, I'm going to read this. Look at verses 5 and 6. They travelled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. And there they met a Jewish sorcerer, astrologer, and false prophet named Bar-Jesus. Wow, that was their first meeting. So he was an advisor to the proconsul, and he was influenced by demonic powers and he had a huge influence in the life of Sergius Paulus, the governor. That was the battle. But the blessings followed on very quickly as Sergius Paulus, who was the highest ranking proconsul of the region, was keen to hear about the word of God. That's such a blessing. And that's the blessing. But I want to read verses 9 and 10. So Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." And immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. That's the spiritual battle. There was a real confrontation there. Can we all read verse 12 together? So find it, and then I want us to really speak it out, because this is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. So verse 12. 1, 2, 3. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching of the Lord. Nothing hard, half-hearted there. He was amazed at the teaching of the Lord. So this journey of battle and blessings continues as they travel on, and continues for us as we go with the good news and grow followers of Jesus. So just to review, all were called to go out. The word of God is foundational. All were on the spiritual safeguarding team. And the battle will always rear its head when we go out. So I want to just go through a last sort of few bits of wisdom in the battle. Ask God to give you his wisdom, especially before you confront a bar Jesus. I'm going to tell a story against ourselves. A long, 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 long time ago, when we first moved to Totnes, we were kind of zealous and thought we could take on the world, and we hadn't joined a really kind of accountable local church relationship, and we took on together, spiritually, a bar Jesus in this community. It was very scary, and we could have been really badly burnt by that. By God's wonderful grace, we weren't. This is not something that you just go and do on your own. We need to be in a team. There are different gifts in the team, and it's not certainly not something that those who don't have anointing for it or experience should ever, ever do. And I can't stress that enough. So ask God for wisdom. And if you see a bar Jesus and you don't know what to do, come and talk. Come and talk to your home group leader. Come and talk to the prayer planning team. And there'll be lots of wisdom and lots of prayer to help you to know what to do. So the second thing, immerse yourself in God's word. We're told it will make us wise. Learn it, obey it, reflect it, speak it out. And actually use the scriptures. We're told when Jesus spoke to Satan, he used the scriptures. He actually quoted the scriptures that he knew. He quoted the Old Testament. It's written, "Man cannot live by bread alone." So if you look at verse 5, you'll see that they went and preached the word in the synagogue. So this was the first ever mission team that went into the mission synagogue and preached the good news. And in verse 16, they left Cyprus and moved on to Turkey. As soon as they arrived, they started to teach the word, and here they are doing it again. So I'm not going over verses 30 to 50 of this chapter, 13 to 50 of this chapter. It's two major sermons, and it's absolutely amazing. Go away and see what they preached about. So more wisdom on this journey. It's really important that we live a lifestyle of repentance and humility. The book of James says that the way we actively resist the enemy is to draw close to God, and he will come close to us. Live a life of humility and confess your sins. That is how we resist. We don't have to go looking for the enemy. He'll come looking for us. We just draw close to God. Keep on, keep on, keep on drawing close to God. And stand firm in your faith. That's just so important that we stand firm. I've never heard the audible voice of God, ever. But the nearest I've been to hearing the voice of God was in the darkest time in our lives, in the middle of the night, and I heard, "Stand firm, stand firm, stand firm." And I believe that's a word for someone here. You're going through a dark time. Stand firm. Jesus is there with you. And stir up the prophetic gifts. That's what Paul says. He says at the end of one of his encouragements about the gifts, I wish that you would all prophesy. We can all hear God. We can all see pictures. We can all know that God is speaking. So I am so encouraged that Keith stirred up his listening gift and brought it to us as a Barnabas. I've now asked a John Mark to bring us a prophetic word. So Mary Lou is going to come. She is much younger, and she's quite like John Mark. She kind of goes fast. But the Lord has given her a prophetic word. So it's really right that we hear it as a church. So let's really encourage her and listen and really take note of what the Lord is saying.
Okay, occasionally when I'm out walking, I love to go and pray basically when I'm out walking. That's where I feel the presence of God. And probably a couple of weeks ago, I was walking down in the woods by Staverton and then through the trees and out into the meadows. And I'd read our house group, WhatsApp group messages. And I just really felt burdened that there seemed to be quite a lot going on for people in our group. And the Lord really just gave me a vision and a very clear picture as I was walking and a prayer that came with it. And as I was walking, I just felt I wanted to record what God was showing me and what God was saying. And I then sent it to our house group. I also sent it to Polly because I like popping things over to her as well. Anyway, she has asked if I would share it. So if you'd bear with me, what I'd quite like you to do is, I'm sure you all know the woods and the river at Dartington. Maybe just in your own imaginations, just take yourself there. If you could close your eyes. And I will try and share with you what God was saying. So basically, the reading that I'd had that day was from Ezekiel. And it was where he had the vision of the trees that are planted by the river and the water that runs beside the river, in the river, and the trees that are planted beside it. And those roots of those trees, they go down really deep and they drink of that water. And the land that is next to the riverside is incredibly fertile. The ground that is along the edge of those riverbanks. And so that's sort of where I was, and it's what I suddenly just was like, wow, this is incredible, I'm actually in it. But there was an extra layer that started to happen around me, and the wind was really blowing strong, and the leaves were rustling above me. But where I was walking in the trees, they were standing strong. They weren't moving. It was just the canopy that was moving and being blown around. Yet down here, it is calm, it's firm, and the trees are standing strong. And I just felt like it was an illustration that the moment that we're in, as a church, we are definitely in a time of transition, a time of massive change within the church body. And the enemy is stirring up, he is blowing a wind, and he is trying to wobble us. But then this is the prayer that I spoke out as I walked along, and I'm going to pray now. And I declare over each and every one of us that we are like trees of Lebanon, and that our roots are planted deep down into the ground and the fertile soil of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we are soaked in his word, and that we are soaked in his truth, and that the rivers run high. That this is the river of the Holy Spirit, those rivers that bring life, that bring fertile soil, that bring food, that bring drink, that bring power, that far outweigh the wind that is blowing up in the canopy. Amen. And God says, keep your eyes fixed on me, your eyes fixed on the truth of my word. Stand firm, and you will not be moved. You will not be shaken. I will have my way. I will bring about my purposes that I have planned before the beginning of time for each one of you. And within this church, my precious body, broken for you. You, so my children, do not look and do not fear, but drink deeply from the rivers of life. And you will not thirst, you will not faint. I will renew your strength as you stand firm in the promises that I have given each and every one of you. I am your rock, I am your firm foundation. I am God who hears, I am God who protects, and I declare in the heavenly realm peace, I declare victory that we have in Christ over each of our lives, and that we will not be put down, we will not be put off balance, because we are firmly rooted, and those roots go deeper and deeper than any of us know or realize or understand. Therefore, we are strong, and God is raising up an army, a mighty army, specifically for this time and this season. And we need to keep our eyes fixed on him as he maneuvers us into position, ready for a victorious battle. So my lovely people, stand firm, do not be discouraged, for the Lord our God is with us. Amen.
Let's just wait in quietness.
Father, would you just move afresh now amongst everybody? I just pray in humility that people would receive what you want to speak to each and every one of us, that from the words that I've just shared from my heart.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Joel, can I put you on the spot as a John Mark generation? Could you just pray a blessing? Come up and pray a blessing on Mary Lou, please. Thank you.
Lord, we sit here today just gathered in your presence. We just thank you for Mary Lou. We thank you for this time she walked in the woods and you came to her and with this word for us, Lord. I feel that you've met us through Mary Lou's words, and I pray continued blessing on Mary Lou, that she can walk and freely hear your word and discern your word from all the confusion and all the noise and the busyness around us, Lord. And I pray that this spirit of wisdom and this spirit of connection that you have given Mary Lou, I pray that it spreads to all of us, that we walk through our lives with you talking to us, with us feeling your guidance, giving us courage and giving us truth to walk representing you, to walk with the true life that comes from knowing you as Lord. I pray this shines out like a lamp, and I pray that others see us and see this. Lord, I pray that you continue to work through Mary Lou, and this inspires us to walk closer with you, Lord. I bless you, and I thank you for your bringing us life. Amen.
Thank you. So, we need to move on now. We could linger for a very long time with all of this, but we need to move on. And we're going to sing a final song, which will sum up so much of what God wants to say to us. But I just want to read one verse as Fee and Chris come up. So Paul and Barnabas urged everyone to continue to rely on the grace of God. There's always more than enough, always, always more than enough. And all that we have is because of the glorious grace of God. Let's just sing that song and then we'll go into communion. Let's stand.